Chapter 2.
Generosity, said Lord Gerlach.
The Lord of Contagion's voice was deep and wet, bubbling with the rancid sweat that seeped through his body, both inside and out.
Generosity is the watchword of Grandfather Nurgle. It is the first rule of our God, and we who worship him must follow his divine example. It is how we show our faith.
Gerlach stood amidst the mould-furred rubble of the Mons Aquila's counting house, addressing his followers. He wore fluid-streaked terminator plate, his bloated flesh spilling through corroded rents, and though the warriors he addressed were hulking plague marines, he loomed over them all.
Take our enemies, Gerlach said, stomping forwards.
His brothers parted to let him through, their armour joints seeping and respirators gurgling.
They show no generosity of spirit, no magnanimity, and though we bring them plentiful gifts, they offer nothing in return, and thus they suffer.
Gerlach halted at the edge of the ruins and stared up the processional roadway, to where the astropathic fortress stood beneath skies clotted with sluggish clouds. The structure was vast and imposing, yet it cowered behind its flickering banks of void shields. It stood silent and alone amidst the war-torn remains of Kalides Prime's capital city, a vast and now ruined sprawl named Dustrius.
I hate them, of course, said Gerlach, for their ignorance, their worship of the corpse emperor, for their blinkered refusal to accept the true might of the dark gods, and the glory of Nurgle above all. But I pity them also.
What is there to pity, my lord?
Asked Thrax, Gerlach's favoured lieutenant. Thrax was a biologist putrefier, a plague alchemist whose armour was festooned with clinking alembics and experimental blight grenades. His voice escaped his helm's respirator like that of a drowning man. Snatches of words gasped through the fluids that bubbled in his lungs.
Thrax, these wretches have been deprived, said Gerlach
with an expansive gesture.
They refuse to share the psychic bounty of their astropaths only because their god emperor has taught them to be grasping, cruel, and selfish. He has taught them that only through suffering can their lives have meaning, that freedom and empowerment are just clever names for damnation. I pity them that their faith is built upon weakness, upon clinging to what little they have, and refusing to give or receive the gifts that could be theirs. We must set an example and show them a better way.
As he spoke, the boom of artillery fire rolled through the air. Gerlach raised his horned helm and watched as shells sailed up from behind the counting house and arced down to burst against the fortress's shields. Dirty flame blossomed and the void shields flickered, their efforts becoming more frenetic as thick clouds of black spores spilled from the blasts and whirled across their glowing surface.
We still cannot breach their shields at range, my lord, said Thrax. And Imperial forces survive in the Temple District. They continue to harass our flanks. If Plague Lord Morbidius returns before we secure this sanctum, then he will punish us for our failure.
Patience, Thrax,
replied Gerlach in a tone of genuine good cheer.
Battle should be steady, drawn out, savoured to the last dribbles of blood and pus. Entropy is our ally. Suffering is our gift. Starvation, despair, the inevitability of disease. These are the vectors by which our God's power spreads. So Mortarion teaches us.
Dark preys us upon the Primarch, gurgled Thrax.
Dark preys us upon the Primarch,
echoed Gerlok before continuing.
Eventually, our enemies will concede defeat, Thrax. And as for the Imperial Guardsmen lurking in the Temple District, let them try to fight us. Let them pit their paltry strength against the indomitable might of the Death Guard. I applaud their tenacity and relish the utter hopelessness of their cause. Let us give them suffering and sickness, that they might in their turn aid our true purpose here. Let us be generous.
Gerlok turned to the assembled plague marines, hefting his massive plague reaper axe high.
We are the sons of Mortarion, he roared,
clotted matter spraying from his vox grill.
We are the warriors of the third plague company of Mortarion's anvil, blessed with the Everseep, the endless suppuration, the weeping gift of Nurgle himself.
His brothers waved bolters, blades, heavy maces, and rot-nozzled plague spewers. Their cheer was ghastly, a gurgling drone that sounded like a herd of groks drowning in swamp water.
We are entropy personified, cried Gerlok. We are the death inevitable, the inexorable wasting, and we will grind these heathens down until they give us what we want.
His warriors gave another mighty cry, almost drowning out the roar of their plague-burst crawlers, lobbing another volley of shells towards the fortress.
Ready your weapons, and bring up another batch of cages,
ordered Gerlok.
Let us offer them our gifts again.
Throughout the ruins, the warriors of Gerlok's Vectorium trudged into position with their bolters ready. They would advance into range of the fortress's shields and then lay down harassing fire, continuing to probe the enemy defences. They likely had the numbers and the fortitude to carry the day if they wished, but by Gerlok's order, they would not push up the slopes to the fortress walls themselves. Not yet. That duty would fall instead to other, lesser beings. He saw them now, packed tightly into huge rusting cages that ground through the ruins on industrial tracks. The creature's eyes stared mindlessly into the middle distance. Their rictus grins dripped with slime. Their rotting flesh and squirming tentacles stank of putrefaction, and their moans filled the air.
My pox walkers, said Gerlok,
his tone that of a proud parent. The tracked cages lurched to a halt, well out of range of the fortress's guns. Locking bolts blew, and the cage door swung open with shuddering clangs. Groaning sorrowfully through their rotten smiles, the diseased former populace of Dustrius stumbled from their cages and shambled towards the fortress. Some clutched crude clubs and rusting tools. Others brandished firearms, though Gerlok knew that none of them had the wit to use them. They were not the first such attack wave unleashed upon the astropathic fortress. Many thousands of their fellows already formed gory mounds around its walls. The combined stench of their gas-bloated corpses was ghastly, and Gerlok breathed a deep draught as he watched his latest attack wave advance. Thousands of the mindless never-dead swarmed through the ruins and began the stumbling ascent towards the Imperial Fortress. Gerlok's brothers strode behind them like shepherds, while from the rear lines the plague-burst crawlers maintained their steady bombardment. The guns of the astropathic fortress came to life. Heavy bolters and autocannons roared, mowing down rank upon rank of plague-ridden mutants. Battle cannons hammered shells into their midst, raising geysers of foul fluids and spinning limbs. But the poxwalkers advanced undaunted, as incapable of fear as they were of escaping their own dreadful fate.
"Shall we join the attack, my lord?"
asked Thrax, caressing the brittle glass alembics that hung from his armour.
"I have concoctions I wish to perfect."
"Small chance at such a range," said Gerlok. "No, let the poxwalkers soak up our enemies' fire and gnaw away at their munitions. Let them groan their fulsome dirge, that it might seep into the minds of unwary defenders, and sow the seeds of sickness in their dreams. I have need of your concoctions elsewhere, Thrax.
The Imperial Guard?
Asked Thrax.
Perhaps, said Gerlok, but perhaps not. Blorthos has had a vision, something he believes worthy of my attention. Let us take his witherlings and see for ourselves.
Gerlok turned away from the ongoing slaughter and stomped through the ruins, Thrax lumbering at his side. A half hour later, Gerlok led Thrax and the witherlings down a deep drainage trench between rows of gargoyle-encrusted hab-blocks. He waded hip-deep through rancid sewage, clouds of fat flies droning around him. The witherlings were almost as massive as their master, a band of five Blightlord Terminators whose hulking armour drizzled unclean fluids and crawled with corrosion. They were led by their grotesque champion, Blorthos, whose helm was little more than a rusted frame for a bulbous eye the size of a man's head. The dripping orb was milky with cataracts and threaded through with burrowing worms, yet still it rolled back and forth in its setting, following movements only he could see.
Up ahead, my lord, rumbled the Terminator. There is a tunnel, and beyond it.
The Munitions Manufactorum, said Gerlok. Yes, this is its primary runoff channel, is it not? Then your vision concerned Sloth and his squad.
The grandfather gifts me fever dreams, my lord, replied Blorthos. They are vivid, but rarely lucid. I saw this place and a threat to our brothers, sharp needles digging through rotten flesh, but little more.
Of course, said Gerlok. It is not for such as us to question the glorious gifts of the grandfather.
What was Sloth doing in this region?
Asked Thrax.
There have been no reports of Imperial activity here for several weeks now, not since our initial drop.
No, indeed, replied Gerlok. A hearty bombardment of slitherpox and churning lung put pay to any who took refuge, and the Imperials have not dared to set foot here since, lest they feel the touch of Nurgle upon their flesh. No, Thrax, this was not intended to be a combat mission. I merely sent Sloth to hunt out any munition stockpiles that we could turn to our use, should our constant generosity lead our own guns to feel the pinch of famine.
Seems Sloth may have felt the pinch of something else, chuckled Blorthos.
There was no love lost between Gerlok's champions, who were forever locked in competition.
We shall see soon enough, said Gerlok, as he waded on into the shadow of the cavernous inflow pipe.
The flanks of the Manufactorum reared overhead, and for a moment it felt to Gerlok as though he were advancing into the maw of some immense beast. He grinned at the thought. Anything foolish enough to devour him would soon find itself poisoned beyond words, and led the way into the darkness.
Here is another one, called Thrax.
Gerlok looked up from the sprawled body of Sloth and grunted in irritation.
All of them, then, he said.
He and his followers stood amidst the massive labour belts and rusting machinery of the Manufactorum. The work floor was carpeted with the contorted remains of the hundreds of labour serfs who had died here weeks earlier. Amongst them, Gerlok had found the corpses of Sloth's squad. Their armoured forms had not been difficult to locate.
They died without firing a shot, said Blorthos contemptuously. They sent no message.
His Terminators stood in a rough ring around their leaders, facing outwards with their guns raised.
It must have been swift,
said Thrax, glancing at the deep shadows wreathing the Manufactorum.
An ambush!
Gerlok switched through his helm's visual filters, each one a noxious shade of rust, rot or poison, and began cogitating ballistic trajectories and assessing impact points.
Accurate, he mused, and deadly. These shots hit eyes, armor joints, corroded plates. They punched right through the blessed flesh of our brothers and killed them as though they were flimsy loyalists.
The Astra Militarum must have sent snipers, said Blorthos,
but he sounded doubtful.
Our enemies have neither the marksmanship nor the weapons to achieve this, replied Gerlok. No, brothers, Grandfather Nurgle has blessed us with a warning. Some other power is at work here, and we must be wary.
Thrax, Vox Flegorius, if you would. Let us have our plague surgeon cut these corpses up and inspect the rounds that killed them. Besides, he will need to reclaim their gene seed for the Legion before it becomes too fly-blown to be of use. I...
Gerlok was interrupted by the dull tolling of his helm vox. He activated it and heard the voice of Ruptus, one of his plague marine champions.
My lords, the assault upon the Astropathic Sanctum has reached the third firing line,
gargled Ruptus.
But the Astra Militarum have launched another attack. They are pushing tanks and infantry out of the Temple District into Sectors 6 and 7.
They timed their strike well, said Gerlok. We are extended on the attack, and I am at a remove from the battle.
Perhaps this was their work, after all,
asked Thrax.
A ruse to pull you away.
The Imperials could not have sent me my vision, snorted Blorthos.
No, said Gerlok. Yet still, the timing is fortuitous, is it not? Ah, well, the heavier the rain, the swifter the crops rot, and we cannot win Nurgle's blessings without opportunities to excel. Ruptus, spread the word. All Victorian forces are to pull back and reinforce against the Imperial Guard. Leave the Poxwalkers to press their attack. They will not last much longer anyway.
Yes, my lord, said Ruptus over the vox.
You shall oversee the defence until I return, Ruptus, continued Gerlok. Give ground slowly, concentrate on exhausting their forces and eliminating their armour wherever possible, and send Pustulus's and Thromboxer squads to Sector 9. Have them bring a couple of bloat drones, We will congeal with his forces on our way back and hit the Imperial flank, severing the spear tip of their advance.
In Mortarion's name, my lord, said Ruptus, cutting the voxlink.
It seems Flegorius has been saved a walk, said Gerlok.
Lord?
Asked Thrax. Whether or not our enemies stage this diversion, they have made best use of it, said Gerlok, staring out into the gloom. And we must assume that the assassins that killed Slough and his brothers are still at large. No, I will not risk our best plague surgeon at this juncture. Blorthos, you and your brothers heft a corpse each. We will bring them with us, that Flegorius may examine them at his leisure.
Gerlok saw Blorthos stiffen. He knew that the Terminator would resent this demeaning duty. He also knew that no warrior of the Death Guard would complain at such a hardship, lest their fortitude be questioned.
Yes, Lord,
said Blorthos, motioning to his brothers to choose and heft a corpse each. Blorthos himself threw Slough's body over one shoulder, as though his armoured remains weighed nothing at all.
Good, said Gerlok. Let us away. Battle calls!
Captain Dezansk, commander of the Cadian 44th Heavy Infantry, cursed as something struck the flank of his Chimera. The armoured personnel carrier rocked on its suspension, throwing Dezansk and his command squad around in their restraints.
What in throne's name was that?
Barked Colour Sergeant Weems as the vehicle skidded to a halt.
No clue, said Dezansk. Nothing good.
He banged a fist on the hatch to the driver's compartment, ignoring the ache in his bones from whatever heretical ague he had contracted.
Hey, Stranson, what?
Dezansk was cut off as their transport bucked again, lurching backwards with a shriek of tortured metal. Dezansk heard muffled screams from the driver's compartment, followed by a loud bang. Smoke began to leak through the ventilation ports.
Damn it, said Dezansk. Chonsky, get the hatch. Weapons ready. We're disembarking.
Gunner Chonsky hefted his melter gun with one hand and hit the hatch release rune with the other. The Chimera's rear ramp opened with a hydraulic whine, allowing thick smoke and buzzing flies to spill inside. Chonsky was first down the ramp, coughing on the foul air that had already poisoned their lungs thrice over. Dezansk followed, but pulled up with a yell of alarm as huge metal tentacles whipped out of the fog and punched through Chonsky's chest. The gunner screamed as he was hefted off the ground, his wild eyes locking with Dezansk in the split second before the rusted tendrils ripped him bloodily in two. Looming through miasmal smoke and spores came a hellbrute dreadnought, a hulking giant of rusted metal and rotten flesh, taller than Dezansk's burning Chimera. One arm comprised the waving tentacles that had ripped Chonsky apart, while the other mounted a massive cannon. A cluster of eyes rolled above a fleshy maw in the thing's chest, which was itself an armoured sarcophagus housing the tortured flesh remnant of the machine's pilot, a once great Death Guard champion.
Down!
Shouted Dezansk, diving aside as the ironclad monster opened fire. Shells whipped over him in a storm, reducing Medike Danvers and Colour Sergeant Veems to bloody gobbets. Voxman Caviar hit the ground next to Dezansk, swearing inaudibly over the din of the fusillade. The Hellbrute's fire tore through the open hatch of the Chimera and detonated its engines. The explosion was shockingly enormous. It picked up Dezansk and hurled him past the Hellbrute, leaving his ears ringing and his body bruised as he rolled to a stop. Dezansk looked up groggily through the swirling smoke and saw the dreadnought turning towards him. Its fanged maw yawned and its eyes rolled madly. There were more shapes in the murk, Cadian guardsmen and tanks firing as they advanced, but none were close enough to come to his aid. Dezansk rolled sideways, frantically avoiding the lash of the Hellbrute's tentacles. He ripped his las pistol from its holster and fired, bursting one of the creature's eyes with a lucky shot. It roared, though the sound was still muffled to Dezansk, and stomped towards him. He saw Caviar lying on his side, unmoving. No help there. He prayed to the Emperor for aid, scrambling to his feet and swatting away droning flies. His eyes alighted on Chonsky's melter gun, lying discarded near the bloodied remains of its former owner. He dived for the gun, feeling everything inside him constrict in terror as the Hellbrute's tentacles whipped past mere inches from his flesh. Captain Dezansk hit the ground in a roll and came up with Chonsky's melter gun levelled.
Oh, spirit of the weapon, forgive my crude ministrations and vent thine wrath upon this unclean thing, he prayed, then squeezed the trigger.
The melter gun's energy blast built from a hiss to a roar in a split second. The Hellbrute reeled as a column of super-agitated microwave energy bored through its sarcophagus and struck the clotted remnants of the Death Guard warrior interred within. Boiling flesh and warp flame jetted from the glowing hole, and the machine gave an ululating howl as it staggered backwards. Something exploded within its armoured frame. Smoke belched, and the war engine toppled, crashing down mere feet from Dezansk.
Emperor, be praised, whispered the Cadian captain.
He shook himself out of his daze and rushed over to Voxman Caviar. To his relief, his comrade was stirring and groaning, wounded, ill, but very much alive. Dzansk grabbed the headset attached to his Voxman's backpack and dialed into the Cadian command channel, listening as he scrolled hastily through strategic data on his Auspex.
7th platoon retreating! Repeat, 7th platoon retreating! Overwhelming enemy fire! What in throne's name is that thing? Watch out! Don't!
Requesting immediate fire on these coordinates. 1, 4, 1, 2. Repeat.
Coming from the flank. Holy Cadia, are those Terminators? We have to...
Men and women of Cadia,
barked Dzansk, overriding their Vox channels so all would hear.
I'm sounding the retreat. Enemy flanking forces are attempting to bifurcate our advance and trap our forward elements between their guns. 4th, 8th and 12th platoons, fall back immediately to position Thades and filter out through the ruins. Lieutenant Bronski, get your squadron out of there and punch out to the right flank. Vengeance to the fore. We need your battle tanks intact. Everyone else, fall back by squads. Cover pattern Alpheus and rendezvous at the shrine of the Emperor's beatific countenance. Cadia stands!
Confirmations flooded back through the Vox, and Dzansk felt a moment of pride at how efficiently his warriors fought, even in conditions as terrible as these. The thunder of Death Guard bolters echoed through the murk, spurring the captain to action. He hoisted Caviar onto his feet, ignoring the Voxman's pained groans and the blood that caked his scalp. Throwing one of Caviar's arms over his shoulder and clutching Chonsky's melter gun tight, Dzansk began a hurried limp back towards the Imperial lines. He heard the ragged wheeze in his breathing and ignored it.
Emperor,
he prayed as he hobbled through the murk.
If you're listening, I know we're no more deserving than anyone else, and I'm sure you've got better things to do than listen to my pathetic bloody prayers. But if you can hear me, please, send us your aid. I don't think we're going to last much longer without it.